Hi, I'm Tara, and welcome to Let's Do Books. I'm excited because this week I'm joined by Rae D. Magdan, author of 11 novels, 10 novelettes featuring women who love other women. The latest is the Fur and Fangs novelette series, which is available from Desert Palm Press. Welcome, Rae.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be on the podcast talking to you.
So you are here today to share your journey with lesbian or sapphic fiction. So where did that begin for you? How did you first come across these stories?
Well, I grew up in a pretty conservative environment. I didn't know any queer people. I was not exposed to queer media at all. And when I realized that maybe I was queer, I did what most people in my situation do. I went online. And I discovered the beautiful world of fan fiction where, you know, there's a little something for everybody. And it made me feel seen and validated and like I wasn't alone, like I was part of a wider community. And it was just such a beautiful and affirming space that I wanted to contribute to it. So that's what I did. I started writing original fiction and fan fiction at about the same time. And I haven't stopped since.
Yeah, you are a prolific fanfic writer. That's actually how I found you first. I loved, like many people, the Mass Effect video game series. And I felt so betrayed by the way the third game ended.
That ending, though.
I know, right? Like, I think I mourned that ending for probably more than a year. And then I'm trying to remember where there was an article. It was probably Autostraddle. It's always Autostraddle. I think they had a list of, they have a bunch of lists of fanfics. And
really?
One of yours came up on there.
I had no idea that I was on an Autostraddle list. That's pretty awesome.
I'm trying to reach back in my memory, like, more than 5 years. So if I'm wrong, I apologize to everybody for leading you down the wrong path. But I'm almost positive it was an Autostraddle article. And it was one of your novel length ones with FemShep and Liara. And because I'm sorry, if you haven't played these games by now, like, I'm sorry if this is a spoiler for you. Exactly. What are you doing with your life? That's too bad. But this whole series, like, if you choose Liara as the love interest, regardless of whether you play as a woman or as a man, like, that's clearly the love interest they want you to choose. It's the most emotional of the relationships, in my opinion, anyway. And so I get so invested, and I think, and they're going to be together. It's going to be really beautiful. And then Shepard dies or is separated from Liara. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And when I found your fan fiction, I found it so healing because there were other places where that bullshit doesn't happen. So I guess thank you for doing that because it was really upsetting playing that game.
You are so incredibly welcome. I'm touched that I was able to help you through that because I know exactly how you felt. I mourned the end of that game too for a ridiculously long time, and fanfiction was my way of coping. Mm-hmm. So the fact that my personal grieving process and healing process was able to help other people who felt let down by this amazing game was, you know, it's really nice to hear that. Thank you.
I'm also going to call out that you did a series largely centered around, still in Mass Effect, around my favorite rare pair in all of fanfic. And now I'm embarrassed because I only remember one of the characters' names because the other one has fallen clean out of my head. But Tivos and
Arya.
Thank you. Oh my god. I actually think people who aren't familiar with the series could probably still read that anyway.
I've had lots of people say that. Lots of people have read the Best Entertainment series, even though they haven't played the games. I'm kind of surprised how many people have just read it as its own standalone.
So I'm going to tell anybody listening, if you haven't read it, go read it. It's so much fun. Arya is a super, super, super grumpy person who's, I mean, she's a criminal, right?
If you want a tsundere who ends up with, like, a stick-up-the-butt good girl, and they both just gradually find themselves entangled in a mess together, then you'll like this.
Yes. Go read it. Okay, so that's enough of me fangirling at you. I couldn't help it. I gave you a list of questions, but I'm going to deviate a little bit.
Go for it.
I mean, we're talking about fanfic anyway. What are the fandoms that you are enjoying right now, whether it's writing or reading?
Okay, so my fandoms that I have loved for many years and will always love are Mass Effect, obviously. Legend of Korra is a huge one for me. Even though the show ended a while ago, they're still putting out some pretty good comics. I mean, there's issues with them, but they're still good, and I enjoy them. So Legend of Korra is a big deal to me. The 100 is a mixed bag, because some of the art that has come out of the fandom for that show and the pairing Clexa, which is Clark and Lexa, is really amazing. Top-notch fandom content, but the actual show, like, I don't watch it anymore because it's a mess. But as for more current things, I am in the Wynonna Earp fandom, although it too has its issues, but I do like some of the stuff coming out of there. I'm excited for season 4 in July. I've really been invested in She-Ra and the Princesses of Power lately. I like that a lot, and I'm a Catradora shipper, but one thing I like about the She-Ra fandom is that it's just so affirming for anybody's ship. There's no ship wars in the She-Ra fandom. It's all just people celebrating the show. And I've never experienced that in a fandom before. Every fandom I've been in has had ship wars, and this is like chillest, nicest fandom. There is like a lot of discourse, just people enjoying themselves. And that's been a really great experience. So I hope more fandoms are like that.
Yeah, it sounds like the exact opposite of what's going on in Star Wars with Rey.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not in the Star Wars fandom. I'll occasionally read a fanfic, but no, I'm not touching that. Not because I dislike the source material necessarily. I mean, I think everyone has their issues with it, but just because, like, the fandom itself, people are just trying to tear each other down. I like fandoms that are a bit smaller, a bit nicer, a lot nicer, let's be honest.
That's fair.
If you like that, I highly recommend She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. There's some good art, good fic coming out of there, and everyone's super nice.
It just feels good to watch, too.
Yeah, it's such a nice show. It's like, it has that serious emotional depth to it, but at no point is it so bleak that it's exhausting to watch.
Yes.
I think that's a fine line for queer content creators, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that the showrunner is queer.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is very, it's a very queer show. Like, there are explicitly queer couples, and there's also queer subtext, and it just works without losing track of the larger themes.
I did when we got to the last episode of the first season and they're doing the big battle and that big ass rainbow came out.
Yes.
I just started to laugh. I was like, it's the gayest battle ever.
So for those of you who have not watched She-Ra Princess of Power, the last battle scene in season 1 literally has a princess of each color of the rainbow standing together. They're almost all women. There's some male allies, but they're almost all women, and there's just a huge ass rainbow behind them. And it is literally, you could not make this shot more gay. And it's because, as I said, the content creator is a queer woman. She also did Lumberjanes, which is a great queer comic that everyone should read. So it's intentional, and it's really great.
It's so wonderful. So you mentioned you also write original fiction, and I think with the exception of one or two, they're all really in that speculative fiction realm. So some of them are sci-fi, some are fantasy, you have paranormal going on. What is it that draws you to write those genres?
Oh man, that's a tough question. You sent it to me and I've been thinking about it in advance, but honestly, if you can add dragons to a story, why wouldn't you? If you could have hot aliens, like, why wouldn't you? The only answer to that question I could come up with is why not? I ask myself this question all the time, like, why don't I write modern day romances? Because I enjoy reading them. I have a lot of respect for them. I think that they're great. But when I sit down to write, there always seems to be just the weirdness calling me. And I also like using it as a vehicle to ask really large questions that might be a little more difficult to go after in a modern day setting. Like my cyberpunk novel, Lucky Seven, it asks questions like, what does it mean to be human? Do our memories and the sum of our experiences make us human? Can an artificial intelligence be human? What happens if we have the same DNA but our memories are erased? Are we still human? So those kinds of questions, I mean, I'm sure you can ask big questions with modern day fiction, but I really am interested in those things. And so it seems kind of obvious that science fiction and fantasy would be vehicles with which to explore those thoughts that I have, that I think lots of us have.
Mm-hmm. Why is it important for us? I guess this is a question that I want to ask. Do you believe it is? And if so, why do you believe it's important to bring queerness and queer identities into the speculative fiction world as you're exploring these questions?
Yes, I've written a whole essay on this, actually. I literally have written an essay on this for a couple different sapphic websites. And my answer is because in order to exist in the future of our world, we need to envision ourselves there as queer people, queer women especially. And if we can't visualize ourselves in the future of our world, how are we supposed to make it there? So writing, particularly science fiction, is a way for me to envision myself and people like me in the world as it moves forward. And it is a way of giving hope to people and a way of sort of like a beacon for the readers who need that. Now I'm struggling. I wrote a whole essay on this and I'm struggling. it's really important to be able to see yourself, and particularly to see yourself in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And as for fantasy, there is a certain comfort of knowing that people like you exist in other worlds. It makes you feel like even though our world others you, fantasy is a place where perhaps queerness is more natural, more ingrained into society. Not always, but in some and many queer fantasy novels, it's kind of, it's just, it gives you a way to play and explore in a world where queerness is treated differently than it is in our society. So it's very freeing, it's very empowering, it's very fun. And yeah, there's not always the same baggage that our world has.
Mm-hmm. So in your books, you write more than just lesbians. And I've been trying to be pretty specific with my word choices and not just talking about lesbians all the time, because, you know, both of us, we were on the Ask a Bisexual show, which is also on Tilt if anybody wants to go back and listen to it. And so I think for us, we deeply feel that lesbian is not the only identity for women who love and are attracted to other women. And you write that into your books, including other types of queer women. So why is that inclusivity also, I guess, to add on to that last question, also important?
Well, there is a headline that's passed around as a meme, and it says, I don't want to be mean, but it says, I don't know how to explain to you that you should care about other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe you should care about other people. I think it's always a good thing when you want to widen the circle and bring more people in that have a commonality, and that commonality is love for women. And while it is very important to have those spaces where you're with people just like you, because they can be affirming and supportive and they can be places of healing, it's also important to make connections in the wider queer community and to share some of our experiences with them and listen to their experiences if they're gracious enough to share with us. So, you know, as a bi woman, a queer woman myself, it seemed only natural, even though I very much wanted to focus on sapphic relationships because that's what I'm interested in writing, to make the world that I write more like the world that I live in, because lots of my friends have all kinds of identities and labels and are in all kinds of different relationships. So you know, when I'm creating a fictional world, I'm just gonna look at what's around me, and the queer community around me is just so open and affirming to everyone. And everyone can benefit from seeing characters like them. As I said, it's like fan fiction is empowering for queer kids in marginalized communities, in small towns, in places where they don't know a lot of other queer people. It's just, you know, really validating. And I think sometimes lesbians are weirded out if they find out that there is a bisexual character in the story, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a heterosexual romance. And I think that's a misconception that some people have. In Lucky Seven, the romance is definitely sapphic, definitely queer. I think there's only like two mentions of Elena's bisexuality. Like, there's one line, there's a throwaway line where she says, "I like boys with pretty eyes and I like girls who can step on me with their boots." And it's like, that's it. And I would be kind of sad if someone said, because you have a bisexual character in your book, it no longer feels relevant to me. It no longer feels representative of me and my community. So I don't know. It's something I've struggled with a little bit, but the vast majority of people in lesfic are great about it, and they enjoy reading about bisexual characters alongside lesbian characters. They think it's great. It represents their world and their friendship groups and their relationships too. So the vast majority of the feedback I've gotten has been unabashedly positive. So, despite my
That's
nitpicking, I'm actually very pleased with the way that the community has started to accept bi and queer female characters instead of just lesbian identified characters, which are still important. Don't get me wrong, they're still very important, and there needs to be way more books about lesbians. So.
I agree. I think that's when one area where the community has come a long, long way in the last 5 or 6 years.
Definitely, definitely. It's different than when I started publishing, for sure.
Thank you for being an awesome listener and supporting Tilt, the channel that brings you all the podcasts you want to hear. You're listening to Tilt. Find more podcasts on thelesbiantalkshow.com.
Because we're also talking about your reader journey, are there any books that you would recommend to people that you think they should check out?
Yeah, lots. I've been reading, this is a little bit different, but I've been reading The Tiger's Daughter by Arsenault Rivera, and I've been really enjoying that. It's a very rich fantasy trilogy about goddesses in love, and that's cool. So I'm reading that. I haven't finished it, but I'm excited about that. I've read a lot of Anna Burke recently. With Compass Rose and Thorn, and I almost said Golden Compass, which is not her, which is a very different book with no lesbians, sadly. So I've been enjoying her. And what else have I read recently? I mean, a while back I read In the Silences by Rachel Gold, but that's not sci-fi fantasy. That's young adult, which is also really beautiful because it has a gender non-conforming protagonist, and I really enjoyed that. So. As someone who has written gender nonconforming protagonists in several of her novels, I really appreciated seeing that.
So, just in general, kind of to close this off, what do you think about where we're headed as a reading and writing community? Is there anything that you're especially excited or heartened about?
I can think of a whole lot of positives. We've already touched on the fact that other queer identities are becoming part of lesfic and sapphic fiction. There's been a lot more inclusivity. I think there's been a lot more inclusivity around other marginalized communities as well. Different races, different ethnicities, different people with disabilities, neurodivergent people. I've noticed that a lot. So I really appreciate how diverse the community is becoming. I think outside of sapphic fiction in particular, there's been a really good conversation going on in the romance novel world about whose books are being promoted. Some straight people are finally realizing how much gatekeeping has gone on in the romance world for especially women of color, but also attached to that conversation, queer women of all races. And it's been really heartening to see how many people are horrified at this gatekeeping that's been going on and are trying to change it. So I'm excited about that. I am excited that it's getting so much easier to self-publish. There are advantages and disadvantages to self-publishing, but one of the advantages is that if you are someone who is finding that you're being gatekept, and this isn't a quality issue, this is about, you know, we don't need another queer book. We already have one this year from the big publishers. There are more options. There's more independent publishers and there's more self-publishing options. So people who normally wouldn't be able to get their work out there have an avenue to pursue. And I mean, yes, it does flood the market a bit, but also people are getting to publish and be read that would never have been published before. And that's been really great to see. There's some things I'm not thrilled about the industry at present. And I think part of it is people are really quick to tear each other down sometimes over differences in opinion that might even not be related to their writing. Call-out culture is a thing, and there's also been the spread of misinformation about some other authors, even in lesfic world. So that's been kind of sad. But overall, I think the trend has been really great. More people are getting published, more people are getting read, more people are being promoted. It's a really positive, collaborative community that is trying to be as inclusive as possible. And everyone is, for the most part, really kind. So,
where can people find you online if they want to connect with you?
Well, I'm on Tumblr a lot, even though the site is dying because of the not safe for work ban. RadyMagden.tumblr.com. I have a website, which is just RadyMagden.com, and that has links to all of my books. And I'm on Goodreads. I'm on Amazon. I publish wide. So my publisher has me on Smashwords and Barnes & Noble. And I'm on the Desert Palm Press website, of course. And that's the best place to buy because then I get a bigger cut of the percentage. Yeah. Oh no, there's my dog. I knew it had to happen at least once. Uh-huh. Richard Simmons.
Ah! Oh my god, your dog's name is Richard Simmons.
Yes, it is. He came with that name because he has shaggy curly hair. And we kept it because it was too funny to change.
Yep.
Richard Simmons. Stop it. Don't you buff at me. Okay. You can find me on RadyMagden.com. My Tumblr is also RadyMagden. My Facebook, my Twitter, they're all RadyMagden. It's really useful to use the same name on every social media platform. And yeah, it's very easy to find me. My AO3 handle, which for those of you who don't read fanfiction is Archive of Our Own, is also RadyMagden, except that one has no spaces because you're not allowed to put spaces. Yeah, I am super thrilled that I got to talk to you today about all this stuff. It's really fun to discuss and it's really important.
Well, that is all for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Me too. I'm Tara and you've been listening to Les Do Books. You can email me at tara@thelesbianreview.com with your questions or comments. If you're an author who's interested in joining me on the show to talk about the lesfic you love or the trends that have you interested, please let me know. If you've enjoyed this episode, please check out the show notes where you'll find a Patreon link for Tilt or visit patreon.com/thelesbiantalkshow. Our patrons get exclusive content like bonus podcasts that no one else gets access to. To find this and many other great shows, all you need to do is search for Tilt, spelled T-L-T, on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or Spotify.
Richard Simmons! Ah!